just a brief follow-up from something mentioned at the end of the discussion this morning. I think, Lan, you made the comment that unattractiveness was a concept from the list of 10 recollections there, or perceptions. It is a concept, and so is impermanence a concept, but in the context of dhammas and the anicca of dhammas, it's a quality or characteristic of a dhamma, so it's not a concept in that context. So it's something that is known by panya when the dhamma is known. And the same, I think, in this context with unattractiveness. So it's not reflection on a concept being spoken of.
Yes. May I ask, what is this?
Many reality, many the combination of many rupa to bring up the so-called spoon.
At moment of seeing, do you know that there are many rupas, or just that which is seen?
At the moment of seeing,
what is seen?
By theory, that is a visible object.
Okay. Even we don't call it, right?
Yeah.
But if a visible object does not arise and falls away very rapidly, until what appears is only the sign or the mark of it, how can there be the idea, which we call concept, of what is this? So what is this is not this. This is only the sign or nimitta of the reality which arises and falls away, of anything which arises and falls away, but the idea of it make known as something from thinking. Right? When you say this is different from this, this is not concept, it's only sign or nimitta of that which arises and falls away, because the four primary rupas arise and fall away, and that which arises with for primary rupa also arises and falls away so rapidly. This is we learned from the teachings of the Buddha, but there is the idea of the sign, the nimitta. The sign and the nimitta itself cannot know anything, but that which knows, because this sign or mark make known as something there, different, this and that. So concept is thinking. Without thinking, there's no concept. But reality still arises and falls away rapidly. But nobody experiences the arising and falling away. So very rapidly, what is seen is that which it forms up as something permanent with different shape and form. Only different shape and form. Right? And that which is made known as something, man, woman, chairs, table, different colors, animita for bandati, because it's known by such rupa, shape and form. If it's not known, then there is no concept. It's known as something from the shape and form, from the nimitta. So concept is thinking about shape and form, not the direct experiencing of that which now arises and falls away, as it is, as just visible object. If it does not arise and falls away so rapidly that it conditions the nimitta or shape and form, which is known from its appearance as something, and that which knows it as something is concept. As something, not as a reality as it is.
The process from the moment of catching as the visible object to the moment to bring up the as something is too fast, so I don't know how about that that process.
If it's slow, you know that it's not permanent. But no one can stop the rapidity of its arising and falling away. So what is seen? This is to remind, to be reminded, to really understand that no body, no thing, is only that which can be seen. But as the arising and falling away of each rupa is so very rapid, what appears is that nimitta, shape and form. And once it's known as something, the thinking knows that it's something which is not reality, so it's thinking about shape and form, concept. But what is seen is visible object only. Without shape and form, how can it be known as something?
So visible object is not a one point or one rupa?
Visible object arises with the four primary rupa, and the four primary rupa, each kalapa, arise and fall away. So the rupa which arises with each kalapa falls away too, very rapidly. Believe it or not, it's not a matter of just belief, but why it appears like this. If it does not arise and falls away very rapidly, it cannot appear like this. The succession of the arising and falling away condition different appearance as different shape and form. And without nobody know, no concept, no idea of anything. But as soon as they're seeing experiences only visible object, but there is the idea of the shape and form follow immediately. That's why it's quite different to see the distinction between only the visible object and the idea of something, of nimitta.
So
this is just to be started to begin to understand how much ignorance is there if Buddha didn't teach us. Nobody can know the truth of anything at all.
So the visible object is one unit, or it is the combination of many rupa?
Like any kalapa of rupa, exactly the same. How many kalapas here? See? How many kalapas here with space in between? Uncountable. That's why we can see the panya, right understanding of the enlightenment of Buddha. Otherwise, nobody can see that actually there's no one, no thing at all. Only different realities arising, falling away very rapidly. So they seem to appear together like people and things now. As long as there is the idea of people and thing itself, that is something, and this is something at moment of seeing. Even it says it's still me, because no precise understanding of the arising and falling away of whatever in reality arises and falls away. But what appears is the nimitta, which doesn't look like it arises at all, and it doesn't fall away at all. So one has to begin to understand exactly, precisely, what is that which appears. Solidity cannot appear, but without solidity, there can never be that which appears at all. Like this. Take this away. Where is that? So it is there with the four primary rupa, that which is seen or can be seen. It arises and falls away together with the four primary rupas, And not just that, there's also taste, flavor. And nutrition. See? Who knows? Nutrition in here. Any kalapa. Mm-hmm. So what is power?
And even like in the sutta, when there's mentioning like the first one about inconstancy or understanding impermanence, so very difficult now to even understand reality in theory, or let alone directly to understand visible objects. So when it's referring to inconstancy or impermanence, it's nothing to do with impermanence of the cup or the idea of spoon or anything like that, but the directly understanding the impermanence of reality, which isn't known at all yet. So we can see it's very high level of understanding, not just thinking about, oh, everything in life is impermanent or the cup is impermanent. It's not like that at all. It's the impermanence of realities.
Purpose of learning, studying the teachings of the Buddha, just to experience strange happening and don't know how to eradicate the defilement in each moment of citta. Is now citta pure or impure? So should it be cleaned up, or let it ugly and dirty as usual, and more, each moment of seeing, hearing, it gets more and more dirty, the dirtiness of unwholesomeness, the germ to condition disease at any time, serious or not serious, depending on conditions. And it doesn't mean that from reading the sutta one can understand what people in the Buddha's time understood. Who are we and who were they in the Buddha's time? Who became enlightened after hearing the teachings, or not long after listening to the teachings, or even long after the teaching, but they could become enlightened with understanding only, not without understanding whatever appears. So one has to be so very truthful to know. Nobody can tell how much one understands whatever appears, but this moment, it depends on one's understanding, how much there is understanding of that which is heard, that which is seen, that which is seen, no one in it. I told Khun Thai that this morning I saw the train. And not only train, also also accident. The train hit.
So what is that?
Was it your dream?
No.
On the TV.
See? Only that. It conditioned the idea. The train, like now. What's the difference between shape and form? When you appear on the television, I think that, oh, it's you. I see you. Is that right? Can I see you on the television? Impossible. It's like the train I saw this morning. It's only the memory of such and such nimitta different shape and form. This cannot have concept because no experience. Nothing appears to this. But whenever there is seeing, it seems like it appears together with nimitta. Suddenly, as soon as seeing arises, it seems, but actually is quite far away from moment of seeing and the concept, the idea taken it from nimitta, sign, marks, shape, and form only. So it takes quite time, long, long time, to understand the great understanding of Buddha.
This morning, I think you mentioned something about like when we don't do things when there are occasions to do that. That means not anattaness anymore. So what do you mean? Would you like to explore why you say that it's not anattaness anymore? When it's anatta and when it's not anatta?
In the same way when you say that someone practice or meditation.
The difference is like with the idea of a self. Not because there is a self at some time and at some other time there's no self. But when in when you think that you can do some practice so that understanding can arise, so that is the idea of someone who can create conditions. So it's different from what you said about if you don't do, for example, if someone tell, okay, you give me the cup of tea and I don't do, that doesn't mean that there is atta or idea of self at that moment, right? It's not the same Jewish situation.
What is anatta now?
Hard question.
It's very short when you have no understanding of what is meant by everything. For example,
is the cup anatta? Is this anatta? The cup.
The cup is a concept.
Is it anatta?
The idea of the cup is anatta, but the thinking of the cup is anatta, but the...
So now you pointed out what is anatta, the thinking, right? Not just everything. Because what included in everything, sometimes some things about just visible object, not at moment of thinking. So even right now, it's anatta, which thinks, not self. Because it can be just that which can experience. But at that moment, it does not experience visible object. It does not experience sounds, but it experiences the object of thinking. And the object of thinking follows the visible object instantly without word. But as much as one can know is moment of thinking in words. But before that, even seeing something is thinking already. This is a great understanding of Buddha again. And other arahatas and his disciple, even Sotapanna. So is it right or wrong what we are talking about, seeing and thinking? And thinking of concept or idea of something, or the mark or the sign, which is left by the arising and falling away so rapidly of all rupa. Does the vijnana have nimitta too?
Any
any condition, Dhamma has nimitta. So rupa, vedana, sanya, any sankhara, chetasika, vijnana, any condition, Dhamma has nimitta.
So for me to understand that all those Dhamma has the nimitta is that actually at the moment when that feeling or that rupa or that chetasika arise, actually it's already passed away, and the later moment that the know the mind knows it, that is know about its nimitta, but actually it's already passed away the previous moment.
But
is that right?
But if there was not any impression or mark of that reality that has passed away, then impossible to think about it, like attachment or anger or seeing or hearing. If no mark or impression left, then because it arose and fell away so quickly, if there was no impression or mark left, nothing to think about at all. So it's only because there is a mark or impression left that there can be thinking about ideas of cups and people. So we know that actually every conditioned has a nimitta, otherwise impossible to think, impossible to cling to that object, that reality.
Why Nibbana had no nimitta?
Because it doesn't arise and fall away. The other realities, because they arise and fall away so rapidly, like the spinning toy we talked about or the candle, that's why it's the impression or mark that's left behind. But Nibbana doesn't arise and fall away, so no mark left.
When you said when we see as a thing something, and it's itself. So, can you explain a little bit?
Because sometimes people think that utter view is just an idea of someone. This is one aspect of utter view, sakaya ditti, when the visible object seen here or the hardness here is taken for something. Tai, for someone. But actually utter means something or someone. So when what is seen here is taken for a cup as existing, this is also utter sanya, utter view at this moment, because it's like remembering it's a cup and taking that cup to exist. So it's atanuditti, wrong view of utter, isn't just of someone, it's of someone or something. Whenever it's taking that which is seen or heard or smelled or tasted, for example, to be something or that lasts, something that is permanent at that moment.
So let's say when we see a cup, and it's mean behind that is the idea of permanent thing, and it's mean atta.
It depends, because most of the day, throughout the day, there's just going through life and seeing visible object and thinking about cups and this and that, but no view about it, no thinking that actually a cup is what is seen in reality, like a child, a small child will just go around and drink and eat and have attachment, but no taking it for being something, just seeing and clinging. So only Panya can know when it is utter view at any moment. We can't just say that whenever they're thinking about a cup, it's utter view.
Also, as I understand it, when we see a cup, taking there to be solidity, as in if I touch it, I can pick it up sort of thing, is not taking it as having existence. It's a difficult thing to describe exactly what that means, taking it as having existence. It's more than taking it as being something that I could pick up and drink out of.
And Ajahn is
the trip about the asavas, and these are the very subtle defilements that can arise just immediately after seeing or hearing, and one of these is ditasava. So the asava of wrong view can be very slight and very subtle and quite unknown now. Only panya, as it develops, can understand moments when there's utter view or any other wrong view, and then it can begin to know there is more and more subtle. Only the sotapanna has no more utter view of any kind.
There is an idea or concept about what is so-called helping others or building the bridge. Is that the utter view there?
No, just thinking about ideas of helping others and building bridges, that if while thinking like that, there is the idea that in reality there really is an I that can do anything, then that is wrong view of self at that time. But usually in life we just go about our work and perform our tasks, but at moments when it's really an idea that I can do something, then it can be out of view. Like, for example, may talk to Ajahn or Jonathan about the plans for tomorrow and how we're going to put our bags outside the room and this and that. It doesn't mean there's out of view every time we talk about the schedule for the trip and what we're going to do. This is just conventional language. So it depends not on the words or the language, but the idea behind it. Like if we think right now that somehow I can make seeing arise, or I can be aware of seeing right now, then it is utter view.
Okay. Like in Hoi An, you know, Gung's mother, when we were talking together, and she said that she was very happy to attend the discussions and have some more understandings, but there are many things that she couldn't understand. And she said, like, atta or anatta, she had no ideas about that. And then she said, like, I said, okay, so what is seeing now? She said, it's me. And then I said, so who is saying this? And she said, it's me. You know, at those moments, I think there's ideas that there really is someone existing, but not like every time we say, yeah.
So it's the idea, belief, not just the words. Like whenever there is any idea that actually I can really do something or make dharmas arise, such as awareness or understanding by doing this or that, then it is utter view.
So is there any wrong views when talking that tomorrow we'll do something?
But there doesn't need to be, because it's just common, ordinary, conventional language.
He did just a moment ago.
Yes.
Would you like to pour the tea for Khun Nopadon again?
Right.
Does he have wrong view? Or was it Kusala? Just like a moment of knowing what is what going on, that's all.
Kind of conversation happen quite often in daily life. That's why I want to understand how is that when we think that tomorrow we will go to the cable car and go for lunch or something. So
can anyone
avoid understanding or taking what appears as something like a cup. Just have a visible object seen only, no idea of cup. Is that possible? Even dog or cat or bird or fish?
It is a fact that the moment of experience, the reality, and the moment of concept, and the moment of reality, yeah. And
but when you have the idea of I, it's wrong understanding. But when you know what is that, it's not wrong understanding. It's just the process of citta, because nobody can just see without any idea of what is seen, even Buddha.
Somehow if the concept or the idea or the thinking all the time.
For example, if one is not asked what is seen, then how can you know whether that person has wrong or right understanding? If you are sotapanna or willing person, for example, what is seen? It's not just like the knowing of that which appears as something like usual, but it is the idea too. What is there and what is seeing? See? So who sees? If the answer is I, that is wrong view. But it just seeing sees naturally, no idea, because after seeing there must be thinking of that which is seen as something like Buddha and everyone.
But Ajahn, just as we can say that having the idea of cup is not having the idea of something as existing, can we also say that having the idea of I, when we make a sentence, is not the same as having the belief or view
or no idea of I at that very moment. It's only seeing and thinking.
Yes, but even if we have the idea of that's tum and this is me, not necessarily, yeah.
Like Buddha. He knew who's Ananda and who's Mokkhalana and Sariputta and what is what.
Someone had not heard anything about the teachings, and they heard Buddha and Ananda and the disciples talking about their plan to go to Sawati tomorrow, for example. Then the person who doesn't know anything about the teachings, it's just common ordinary language, or even the one who has understood, but if they don't know they're the enlightened ones, they won't have any idea whether there is any right view or wrong view. So it's not the outer appearance or the talking about going to Da Nang tomorrow or going to Sawati. Anyone can talk like that, but it's whether there is any view that actually in reality there is an I that exists or a thing that exists. So we just carry on our conversations just as normal. Like, just like we had our conversations before we ever heard the Buddha's teachings, talking about our plans and our schedules and nothing different.
So much of the time is the idea or the concept or the thinking. So is that understanding can be developed through those idea or concept or thinking?
So what your question is, can understanding be developed through? So in a day after seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, there's bound to be thinking about concepts, and usually it's thinking about concepts with attachment and ignorance. And the only difference is that when understanding begins to develop after seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting and touching, maybe there's some thinking wisely about dharmas, or while thinking about concepts, about realities, beginning to understand what is real and what is not real. So even now we're talking about seeing. It's the concept of seeing that we're talking about, but actually we're talking about the concept of seeing because there is the reality of seeing right now, which sees visible object. So the aim is not to stop having, stop experiencing concepts, but to begin to consider more wisely, to think about concepts in a wiser way as a condition for direct understanding of the realities that at the moment we're just discussing using concepts.
Back to the example of the Kung's mother, when Tom asked about seeing and she answered that, "I see." So at that moment, can you explain a little bit about the characteristic of the reality that performed the function of wrong view?
There is seeing now, but after seeing, then someone may ask, if someone asks who is seeing, and at this moment if one says I see, then actually at that moment there's the idea that it's not just seeing a Dhamma which experiences visible object, but there's the idea that in addition to seeing, there's actually someone here or there that is the one that sees the visible object. So it's not understanding the Dhamma of seeing as just a Dhamma, because it's like trying to find someone else. So actually all that exists is just seeing which experiences visible object. No one to be found at all.
But I mean at the moment of the wrong view, there is a Chetachika named... Ditti.
So the three kinds of attachment. So as we know, attachment can rise straight after seeing, sense door or mind door. We don't need to think about which. And attachment arises very quickly. It can just be ordinary common language, like when we talk about, oh, where we're going for Da Nang and what kind of shops will we find there. It's just like common ordinary attachment. And there can be attachment with mana, attachment with conceit, having the idea that our way is better than another way, or the other has a better way, or more understanding or lesser understanding, anything like this. Or there can be attachment with ditti. At that moment it's clinging to the object, taking it for being someone at that moment.
Is the answer different when the person who answers is Sotapanna and one who is not a Sotapanna?
One is Sotapanna and one is another is not Sotapanna. Sorry again, Acha?
What about the ordinary conversation about I see,
yes,
no wrong view or with wrong view?
Maybe no wrong view.
Because one has to know that it's ordinary conversation, not knowing about anything at all. The adult who answer and the little girl who answer, I see, different or not different?
Different, I think, because depending on the question and depending on what reality. You think about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if you just say to Jet, who can see the mountains now, and she just answers Jep, just thinking or speaking conventionally.
Yeah.
And what is this?
Cake.
See, a child can say cake.
Right.
The adult can say cake. Different or the same?
Same.
Conventional.
Yes.
Idea at moment of thinking. So it depends whether there is wrong view or there is no wrong view.
And how can it be known?
Sorry, just...
How can it be known? If someone says, what is this, and you say cake, how can it be known whether it's any wrong view or not?
No, there's mostly no way, because the people nowadays...
If Ajahn says to you, what is this, and you say cake, how can you know when you speak like that whether there's any wrong view or not?
I don't know if there any wrong view, but...
How can it be known?
Exactly like when one is asked, do you see? And the answer is, I see.
Yes.
Very ordinary. Is there wrong view or no wrong view?
There should be wrong view about I see.
What about the person who realizes reality as it is at moment of being as do you see at that moment?
So no wrong view?
It depends, because you see that we cannot pinpoint what moment has wrong view and what moment doesn't have wrong view. For example, at moment of being aware of that which is hard, if there is still the idea as that hardness is I, see, the idea, taking that reality which is experienced, only that as I, it's wrong view. But now so many things, like this world object, hardness, sound, and ordinary, one takes the what appear as something as usual, no idea. So it depends on that particular moment.
And only Panya can know, right?
Can we say there is a characteristic of wrong view?
Otherwise, there cannot be the eradication of wrong view at all. It has to appear as that which is wrong.
We're talking about the view of me that is wrong, not just the conversational idea. Does that have a characteristic to be known by Panya? I mean, it does. What is it?
When wrong view does not arise at all, can there be the moment of knowing it?
That's right. It can only be known when it arises. But we've been discussing about the characteristic of different dhammas, like visible object mm-hmm. and seeing consciousness and so forth. So I'm just wondering about mm-hmm. the characteristic of this view that is wrong. What characteristic?
If it does not arise, can there be wrong view at that moment?
No.
So who knows whether it arises or not?
So it's a matter of Panya knowing that something is wrong.
At that very moment.
And it's a view rather than a reference, just a reference.
Right. It's like attachment. Is there attachment all the time?
Not every moment, not every jitter moment.
If it's not there, what is there?
Depending.
It can be just moha, mula jitta, not with attachment, not with aversion. Who knows? Only Panya knows. Do you see the cloud?
Yes.
See? And when there's the understanding, when we talk about visible object, and there is the glimpse of understanding, what is there which is seen? It's the beginning of understanding. What is taken for our cloud, our clouds, are only that which can be seen, not the real cloud that we take for that at all. It's only that which can be seen, with such shape and form on the sky. So we say that it's cloud. But when it's not on the sky, is it cloud?
Is it ice cream?
So one lives in the world of concept. But Buddha realizes that how come concept or idea of this or that all the time, without the absolute realities, there's nothing, even what we take for this or that. Nothing to be taken as this or that when there's no realities at all.
And, I'm reminded of a conversation on the first day that some people may have the idea that when we talk about, when we learn more about Paramatta Dharmas, that whenever we just talk about concepts and ordinary topics like the clouds in the sky or the food at lunch, that there must be some wrong understanding, or and so they think that they must just only talk about Paramatta Dharmas all day. But this is wrong understanding, because it's not the natural way at all. It's kind of like what we talk about delirious thinking, when it's just like rabbiting on about Paramatta Dharmas, because one thinks that whenever one talks about clouds or cookies, there's something wrong. So actually life has to go on very easily and naturally, just as before. So nothing different, but just the development of more understanding. So it's not slowing down anything, or trying to notice anything, or trying to be aware, or changing how one treats the insects, or anything like that. It's just like usual, but developing more understanding. Because even whilst talking about the beautiful clouds in the sky, can be awareness darting in any time at all. No one else knows. There's no flag waved at all. And it's not of any significance, because even if there is any awareness, it's just a moment and it rises. It's aware of its object, rises, falls away, gone anyway. So no more value than any other Dharma that's fallen away. Nothing to cling on to or mind about at all.
You did sip tea just a moment ago, right? At that very moment, did you have any idea of I am sipping tea or none?
No.
See, but what is the reality at that moment? The experience of that which is sipped. No idea whether it's what, right? So it doesn't mean that there must be the idea follow. But actually there is thinking, even it's not idea, follow any moment of experiencing of what, of sense doorway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, see? But there must be thinking follows. Not necessary to be the word that I'm having cookie or anything. It's cookie, it's longer than just moment of eating it. Yeah, something there. And what it's made of, and go on. Long, long story. All about concept.
At that moment, there is no idea of the tea or of the cookie, or that idea is not experienced.
Words. It's no idea. But after tasting, there must be thinking follow instantly. Even it's not in words. Otherwise, after that, you cannot tell what you ate.
Even it doesn't bring up the word tea or biscuit, but I think there is a sanya at the moment when have the intention to sip the tea or the biscuit, and is that?
Sanya arises with each moment, no matter what citta it is. Sanya arises with seeing consciousness and cittas after that.
And Chaitanya at each moment.
Me. Yes, it's Sanya.
Mr. Chaitanya needs Sanya to assist him. Otherwise, he can't remember all his tasks.
Can we say that this moment is a moment of developing understanding little by little?
It can be, but also, on the other hand, it is also dangerous that it may be easiness or laziness or leisure.
It's laziness, a reality.
When there is the laziness, then nothing is developed.
Can you change the moment of laziness? Can you change the moment of being lazy into energy, virya?
If there is wise thinking,
by conditions, not by you, without any understanding that it's not self. No one know there to know that it's not self. No matter its laziness or any quality, any reality.
Even it is not self, but what is need to be developed and what is not need to develop, laziness or easiness is not what is should be developed.
The most important thing is developing right understanding of whatever appears. This is the point of the study.
I think understanding about unwholesome, but it's unwholesome.
Yes, it's unwholesome. It's not me. Even it's wholesome, it's not me. It's just a reality. Until Panya can understand all kinds of reality of any level at any time, it's not self. Otherwise, there's no eradication of the idea of self. Because it's someone who does not like laziness and who try not to understand it as just a reality, not me.
So there is setting the priority that develop being understanding much more than eradicating the defilement or unwholesome when it arises.
Who can set?
Chitta do it.
Chitta which doesn't understand reality as it is, as not self, but it's the citta with the idea of self which sets.
It may or it may not.
Yes, it may. It has to be. Because at that moment there is no understanding of whatever appears like now. Saying, what can you do? Lazy? Or what?
They might have the case that understand about that wholesome, and there also another understanding that unwholesome dhamma is necessary to be eradicated.
Who does not want to be lazy? Who does not want to be lazy?
Good understanding, then we know that laziness is not a wholesome.
Yes. But understanding always lead the right way and the right path. Not don't like this and that, but understanding it as not self. That's the function of understanding. It doesn't lead one away to do something to have that which hasn't happened yet. That's why, like Guru Jonathan said this morning, come back to this very moment. And what appears now, is it not object of understanding there never be any moment of understanding, because what appears is conditioned. Otherwise, it cannot appear. And when it's there, the teachings of the Buddha will lead to having more understanding of it as not self, little by little. Not doing anything else, because no one can induce any moment at all. Is there, are you lazy right now? Are you lazy right now?
I think in life I waste a lot of time.
Now, I mean now. We don't talk about the other moment at all, because that which has gone cannot arise again, and that which hasn't come yet, it hasn't come. So who can know next moment whether it is this or that?
That is the accumulation that...
That is thinking. But actually, after this has fallen away, what else can be conditioned? No expectation. When there's thinking with that or with this, it is only thinking about this or that. But it's not moment when it just follows the previous moment. So how can there be the understanding of whatever appears right now? Not think of that which has gone and that which has come yet, just right now. If there is no discussion about it, to understand it little by little, to be confident in what Buddha taught, then we'll go away, try to do something in order to understand what, which hasn't happened yet at all.
Talking about or discussing about Chaitanya or Vitaka is not arise now.
Does it appear?
Cannot experience now.
So what appears now can be studied. Like a moment ago, we talked about Ditti. Who knows whether it arises at moment of saying, I see. Or it does not arise. It's only I see, usual, daily. Like anyone can say, I see. But who knows whether there is Ditti or no Ditti. Only Panya can know, and Panya of what degree? Not just thinking, assuming that it's there or not there, but it's that very moment when that appears as me or mine. Then one can understand that it's beyond words, because there is clinging, only clinging as my or something, me. Does any hardness now appear?
There is hardness appears.
Okay, just that. Is there any idea that I am hard? No. So there's no ditti. Only hardness is there, like anything. But what holds this microphone? What experiences hardness there? No idea of taking microphone as my body or me, right? No matter now or at moment of having right understanding, it's exactly the same. Hardness which appear as microphone when there's no understanding. And when there is understanding of hardness here, no clinging to it as my finger, it's only that which we take for microphone. But at that moment, no idea of microphone, but it's only hardness appear, which isn't taken as mine. But some part of the body, when it appears, one can see that it's me right there. It can be my leg or my hand, different from hardness as microphone. So who can say whether that moment there is wrong understanding or clinging to that object or not? Only Panya, which arises and experiences the truth at that moment, knows. To see the idea of me or mine, of even hardness which appear. Otherwise, there cannot be the eradication of my hand, my hardness, or my body. So it has to be very precise. When there's wrong understanding, the atta view, or when there's only that which appear without the understanding of me or mine.
So I asked about the touching, when there is touching my the hand on the leg.
Yeah.
So what is the internal and what is the external?
What appears?
Is the worm nits.
Pardon?
The worm nits.
Warm. Okay, it's warm.
That's the reality that appears.
But if the idea is my hand is warm, that warmness is me, then you know that if there is no right understanding which can understand wrong feel when it arises, it's only thinking about it. Assuming whether at this moment there's wrong view or no wrong view. But at the moment when it's there, you cannot change that characteristic at all. So while there is the development of understanding, wrong view is not completely eradicated at all. So it can be conditioned for its arising to be known as even that is just a reality, not me.
And when warmth is experienced, no idea about internal or external or anything else, because it's just that warmth, just that characteristic, which is experienced, no word, no name, like now, just hardness. Whether here or here, just hardness that's experienced, that's all.
So when there is the conditions for the warmness arise, it can be the moment to consider about the what is the salayatana and what is alayatana, internal and external.
Okay, so talking about the ayatanas, what is the external ayatana? Is warmth internal or external according to the ayatanas? If you want to discuss about the ayatanas, what is the meaning of ayatana? And is warmth internal or external ayatana? What is meant by ayatana?
Touching the chair, then it will be easier to understand that the rupa at the body is the internal and the chair is the external.
If you're talking about ayatanas, so at the moment of touching, the body sense is internal ayatana and the warmth is external ayatana, and the citta which experiences the warmth is internal ayatana, and the chetasikas that arise with it are external ayatanas. Ayatana just means meeting place. So in order for there to be the experiencing of warmth, there have to be many different dharmas arising in order for there to be the experience of that warmth which has impinged on the body sense. If no warmth has impinged on the body sense, there cannot be any experiencing of it. But at the moment of touching, when warmth is experienced, no thought about internal or external at all. Just hardness that is experienced at that moment. So when we're discussing about reality that is experienced now, no thought or idea about internal or external at all. But if you want to consider the different realities included in the different ayatanas, then actually warmth is under that classification, external ayatana.
Why did you describe external? Because
they are dhammayatana, and dhammayatana is external ayatana, and it includes chetasikas, subtle rupas, and nibbana. So chitas are internal ayatanas, manayatana, and chetasikas, dhammayatana. Ajahn has explained about citta as being the innermost, or like the core, supported by the chetasika, so they have to come together at that moment. So this is very detailed and a little complicated, but at the moment we're just talking about warmth that it's experienced. So understanding warmth, no need to think about internal or external at all.
And chair? Because you said chair was the outer ayatana. Well, ayatanas are a way of referring to dhammas. And as you know, concepts are not dhammas.
What I mean by chair is that rupa.
Yes, but we said warmth. Warmth is a rupa.
Right.
Yeah. I think that what you're actually...
There are many different ways of considering inner and outer. So you're kind of considering what is taken for the body and what is taken for outside. And you're also talking about inner and outer ayatanas. This is quite different kind of meaning of inner and outer, and maybe talking about inner and outer in the Satipatthana Sutta. So it's like you're looking at many different ways, so it's not the same at all. So we can only take one aspect at a time. So if you're talking about, first of all, warmth that is taken for the body and warmth that is taken for the chair, no need to mention ayatanas. So at that moment, only warmth is experienced, but like we mentioned in one of the discussions, there's a reason why when this warmth is experienced, it's different from this warmth, because what conditions this warmth and what conditions that warmth, it's not the same. But actually the characteristic of warmth that's experienced is just warmth, no matter what warmth it is.
How can the ayatana be known?
I don't know. I heard about it.
So we have to understand better, not just the word ayatana, but what is ayatana, why it is ayatana. So now, what is ayatana?
It is one of the conditions for the touching consciousness to arise.
What is the condition? What is that condition? You said again, please. What is ayatana?
One of the conditions for the touching consciousness arise.
Is it a reality when you talk about one condition? So usually we talk about that we do not really understand. But in order to know what is meant by that we are talking about, there must be the understanding of what we talk about, because before studying the teachings, anyone just talk about that which they don't really know at all, like the world and people and thing and cloud and sky, moon and sun. See, they don't know the reality of all these, what they take for this or that. So when one heard about ayatana, what is that?
Touching consciousness arise.
Again, please.
Is that the place where the touching consciousness arise?
What do you mean by the place?
Do you mean the body sense?
Where the touch, where the body sense imping, or where the tangible object imping on the body sense.
So at this moment, is there any ayatana?
At this moment?
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
What are they? One or two or three or four? Or what?
I think it's only one point.
What point?
An unit.
Pardon?
An unit.
You know the one unit?
Can you say it?
What is that unit? We are talking about ayatana, so is there ayatana now? And what is it? Which is ayatana?
No, I just want to know the meaning of ayatana.
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 Ayutthaya.
Ayutthaya.
So it is not one point or one rupa or one kalapa or something.
Ayatana means the meeting. It is, refers to the meeting of different dharmas. So in order for that warmth to be experienced, there have to be other dharmas. So it cannot just, warmth cannot just be experienced on its own. So a bit like, so there have to be the coming together of different dharmas for warmth to be experienced. First of all, there has to be the impingement on the body sense, as you mentioned, and there has to be the experiencing, the touching of that warmth. So now we have three ayatanas already at that moment. The warmth, the body sense, and the touching, that is three ayatanas. And in addition, there has to be another ayatana, because touching cannot just touch warmth on its own. It has to be supported by seven chetasikas at that moment. So there have to be those chetasikas, and that is another ayatana, all coming together at that very moment, like on the point of a needle at that instant to, and sometimes Ajahn talks about how amazing it is that there is a coming together at that split instant in order for there to be experiencing of that warmth. And why do we discuss about these different realities coming together? Again, just to understand that there are only dharmas at that moment. No chair, no person, no table, nothing, no one at all. Just the coming together, the meeting, the association of these different dharmas. So it's just a different way of talking about dharmas to show how they all have to arise by their own conditions and meet at that very moment in order for there to be that experience. So at each moment of life, at each moment of experiencing, there is the meeting of different dharmas. And that's what life is, from one moment to the next. So when we talk about the situation of the bhikkhus or going to the temple or lifting the cup of tea, no matter what it is, no matter what the conventional subject, there is just the meeting of different dharmas from moment to moment to moment throughout life. That's all. So considering about how actually they're just these different dharmas is a way to begin to understand a little bit more about anatta and a little bit more about conditioned dharmas to condition detachment from whatever appears, no matter laziness or awareness or whatever, just arising because of the, just experience because of the meeting of different dharmas. So no need to mind about, oh, whether I'm lazy in the day or this or that, because just dharmas arising by their conditions that can be known and understood.
is that another classification of alayatana concerned with the sixth sense?
Like when we were talking about paticca samuppadana, it refers to salayatana. Actually, it's a good question, but actually, sometimes it mentions six ayatanas, but actually, they cannot be just six, have to be six pairs. So even if only six are mentioned, it's like when there's a, sometimes when referring to chaitasikas in suttas, only some are mentioned, but actually we know there are more. So even if only six ayatanas are referred to, actually have to be six pairs.
The term ayatana is sometimes translated in English as sense base. So that's where you may have the idea of six. But in fact, sense base is not perhaps the best translation for ayatana, because the term ayatana doesn't actually, as far as I know, it doesn't actually mean a sense base.
In Vietnamese, it's lục nhập. Lục nhập, and the meaning is like you said, it implies the pairs, not just one.
I'd like to actually just ask, John, I've asked this before, but for example, in the suttas or Paticca Samuppada, when it refers to just six ayatanas, I think it means six pairs must be implied. But any reason why it just refers to six in that context?
Understanding of ayatana so clear and well, it's impossible to think about number. It's only just from reading only. So is there ayatana now? Just the answer one by one.
Can I explain?
Not yet. Just one, and then we continue on and on.
Okay. Yeah? There is.
What is that? You said there is. So I'd like to know, what is that? Ayatana, now. What is ayatana now?
The meeting of the...
That is the meaning. But what is it?
Can you give an example?
I didn't ask about the translation. I just want to know, is there ayatana now?
Yeah, over here.
Over here, what is it? Not the explanation. What is ayatana now? See, even there's so much about explanation, but does one really understand? What is ayatana? So you said that there is ayatana, right? What is that? What is it? Which is ayatana now?
Like we just talked about warmth. We just talked about warmth. Is warmth ayatana?
As what you have explained, then it one alayatana.
When you said, is that what you said? It means Kun Sarah's understanding, so it's hers. But when the question is there ayatana now? What's about your understanding?
Because before I asked...
what is there ayatana now?
Yes. Saying.
Okay, good. Why it is an ayatana?
It's a meeting of dhammas.
What do you mean? The meeting, I know, the translation, but what do you mean?
It must be.
Must be what? It means that at the moment there's seeing, there's not just seeing alone.
What does can there just be seeing without seeing of an object? What does seeing see now?
Visible object, I can say like a parrot.
We would like you to be a parrot. We'd like you to have the understanding of any word that we are talking about.
This visible object in Ayatollah.
So she's trying to help you, see?
Yes.
I think when Ajahn asks you a question, it's not the expectation for you to answer the correct answer, but it should really help you to understand. So even because like when you talk about Ayatana, in order to make sure that you understand that what it is, so she asks those questions. Any other time, it's the same. So it's not the matter of having to repeat what you've heard, but it's about considering and understanding the meaning of each word.
So seeing is Ayatana because
it arises with other dhammas.
Like what?
Like a visible object or some chetasika.
Can it arise, but it's not visible object? Whenever there is seeing, there must be visible object, right? So is visible object also ayatana at moment of seeing?
Yes.
Yes. Now you know about two ayatana, right?
Yeah.
Seeing is ayatana and visible object is ayatana. What else is there as ayatana at moment of seeing?
The cetasika.
Yes. Without cetasika, citta cannot arise at all. So now you know three ayatana, right?
Yes, and it multiply with 6 and then it will become 18.
We're just talking about seeing. So seeing is an ayatana, visible object that it's experienced is an ayatana. Chetasikas at that moment is an ayatana. Any other ayatana at that moment in order for seeing to experience visible object?
Eye sense.
Eye sense, right. So 4 ayatanas or at that very moment, at the very moment of seeing, there must be, in order for seeing to experience anything, there have to be the other 3 ayatanas at that instant, right? There has to be eye sense, there has to be visible object, and there have to be chitta seekers.
So alayatana or salayatana, alayatana is not the reality, so what is that?
What is not reality? Like when we're talking about seeing.
It is not a particular reality.
Like.
Because it's alayatana is not the seeing or not the. Yeah?
It's seeing is ayatana. But visible object is ayatana.
But it's not. But it is not a particular reality. It is not only seeing or it is not. Alayatana itself is not seeing.
Do you mean ayatana? What is it? What is alayatana?
Ayatana. Okay, ayatana.
Salayatana and chalayatana. I don't know whether you mean that or you mean just ayatana.
So if we're just now we're just talking about ayatana.
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 Are you like trying to introduce your ideas of what is ayatana, or you would like to hear the explanation about what ayatana is?
I don't want to raise any idea of mine, but I want to understand about because every time you bring back to the own reality, so what reality is ayatana?
Okay, this is what we're trying to explain. So we just mentioned that at the moment of seeing, there must be an object that's seen, there must be eye sense, and there must be chitta seekers. And we said that seeing is one ayatana, visible object is another ayatana, and there cannot be seeing without visible object, without eye sense. So seeing is ayatana. It's a reality. It doesn't matter what we call it. We don't have to call it seeing. We don't have to call it ayatana. We don't have to name it at all. But whatever it is at the moment of experiencing visible object, it is reality. So ayatana is just another word, and it just explains that how it just points to how at the moment of seeing visible, there have to be other dharmas. So each one is reality. Each one is ayatana. In another classification, we may be talking about dhatus or khandas. So just as each khanda is a reality, each dhatu is a reality. So here we're talking about ayatana. Each ayatana is a reality. And there isn't just one ayatana, because many ayatanas have to associate. But each one is reality. Whatever we read about in the teachings is about realities.
So realities are classified in different ways to bring out or emphasize different aspects. So when realities are classified as dhatus, dhatu meaning element, it refers to the impersonal nature of dhammas as just elements arising and falling away. When dhammas are classified as ayatana, it highlights the fact that there have to be different dhammas arising at the same time. There can't just be one dhamma arising. A number of different dhammas have to meet at that instant for the dhamma to appear, to arise.
In the way of classification, like rupa and nama, at the moment of seeing visible object and the hearing, mm-hmm. So it also say about different dhamma, different reality at the same time. So you mean that is classified in the yatana? It's have to understand about the different realities at the same time. So I still not very clear about this.
About ayatana?
The aspect of to see it is a different reality at the same time, because we know that in the way that we say there's a seeing must be a visible object at the same time for hearing to arise.
Yes.
So it also means that it's different reality must be at the same time. So I still don't understand the aspect you say that when we classify in a way of ayutaya.
Yes.
Yeah, it have to understand more about different reality rise at the same time.
It highlights the aspect that there cannot just be seeing and visible object. Seeing consciousness must be accompanied by jhana seekers. And seeing consciousness cannot arise unless there is eye base also. So it highlights the fact that there are these four ayatanas meeting at the same instant.
But I think maybe your question, maybe what you're getting at is, like we say, for understanding to develop, only one object appears at a time. So only seeing can be known, or visible object, only one object is ever experienced at a moment. But So if visible object is experienced, no other object can be experienced. But in order for visible object to be experienced, there has to be the seeing of it, and there has to be the eye sense it impinges on, even though the eye sense is not experienced at that moment.
Actually, it's because I really don't understand why we talk about yatana, ayatana, because I don't know why, you know, it's help understand more about the reality, because let's say seeing you yatana, and visible object is also, and eye body is also, so why I still don't understand the reason that the Buddha talked about that.
Just to be a condition for understanding that all are dhammas, not self. All the words of the teachings pointed to the understanding of no self at all. That's why even just say nama and rupa is not enough, tattu is not enough, the Four Noble Truths or paticca-smuppada not enough. There must be more and more explanation to help the conditions for understanding right now at this moment as no self, no one at all. For example, many people heard about the six ayatanas, right? Yes. And 12 too? From 6 to 12. So what's the meaning of 12 and what's the meaning of 6? At the moment of seeing, there cannot be just visible object in seeing, right?
Yes.
And can it arise without the eye base?
No.
Can it arise without the cetasika?
No.
So in just a moment, only a moment of seeing, what are the meeting point or moment? Because there cannot be anyone missing at all. There must be there at moment of seeing. The seeing is citta, right? And we do not talk about cetasika. When we talk about seeing consciousness, it's so precise that it means that which experiences visible object at that very moment. The faculty of experiencing visible object is there. Manayatana. Or at moment of seeing, we can classify manayatana right then as jakkhayatana, as the eye base, and the chakku vinyana as manayatana, right? Because there are many kinds of citta, and seeing is one kind of citta. So even seeing is included in manayatana, because it is citta. We don't talk about cetasika or anything. We just talk about only manayatana, which means only citta. Manayatana does not include cetasika, right? So at that moment of seeing, there must be seeing for sure, and ayatana, one ayatana, and visible object must be there. It hasn't fallen away yet as one ayatana, and also the eye base as another ayatana. It hasn't fallen away yet, and also cetasika as dhamma ayatana. At that moment, it's not the object. The cetasika is not the object, but it's that which has to be there with citta. So in a moment, there must be, at a moment of seeing, there must be four ayatana, not fallen away yet. At moment of seeing, citta and cetasikas are there together with the visible object and the eye sense, all four in a moment. That is the meaning. That is the meaning of ayatana. At moment of being fast asleep, is there ayatana?
Every moment there is ayatana.
What kind of ayatana?
Nama, rupa, in general.
Then we don't talk about ayatana. If your answer is like that. But now we're talking about ayatana, so it has to be ayatana. What ayatana is there?
At the moment of
being fast asleep. Is there any ayatana?
At
seeing, hearing,
no hearing,
so
no seeing.
No need to think about those ones.
Okay.
So left wing.
Touchings.
No, so forget that. So
yeah.
Thank you.
So
not tasting, not smelling.
So what about citta?
So should be citta.
Manayatana.
Manayata.
Manayatana. Man,
what is mean?
Another word for citta is mano, mana, mana, hadaya.
Oh, so at that moment, this citta and cetacitta only.
Two.
So only two ayatanas at that moment.
I sense your sense are also rasato,
no, they're not. So,
So the eye sense and ear sense and so on are not satarupa?
No, they're gross rupas. So the 12 gross rupas, eye sense through to body sense and visible object down to 3 tangible objects. So 7 rupas experienced through the senses and the 5 sense bases. So these 12 rupas are gross rupas, and other rupas are considered as subtle rupas. So
would those sense bases not be arising at the same time, because we're told they arise throughout life, not just when they're being impinged upon?
Yes, but in this case, like when fast asleep, even though there are many, many kalapas of rupas arising and falling away, including those sense bases and many other kalapas outside the body, but they're not being impinged on, so then there isn't the meeting at that moment, because there isn't the impinging on them.
So after I answer your question, so any explanation more? The answer is two, basically. Yes?
So just because no experiences through the senses, so
just citta experiencing its object.
Yes.
And citta arising at the heart base. But, yep.
Said that eye base arise and pass away throughout the life, even it is not impatient.
Yes, that's what I've heard, the explanation I've heard, yes. Is
what is actually,
because it's conditioned by karma. These sense bases are conditioned by karma. So as long as there is the karma for eye base to arise, it keeps arising, apparently.
So same with those rupa, it is the same with those kama ja rupa, that it arise and pass away throughout the life.
Which kama ja rupa are you referring to, that make up the body? What's your question?
So what are all the rupa which is arise and pass away throughout the life?
Well, the ones I know about in particular are the 5 sense bases.
For example,
rupa.
Heart base, Hadeyawatu.
Her question is, what are the kamaja rupas that keep arising throughout life?
How many kamasarupas are there?
6 sense and then the...
6 sense?
6 sense base.
Rupa.
6 sense base rupa.
What are they?
Eye base, ear base, nose base. Tongue base. Body base.
How many?
6. That's and and the heart place, and the two sex rupa.
So how many kamacharupa?
Nine.
What are they?
What are they?
Yes.
Eye base, ear base, tongue base, nose base, body base, and heart base, and two sex rupa and the life continuum. Life faculty base and life faculty rupa. So it bring up to the question is that
they are conditioned by karma at each moment of subconsciousness. The moment when citta arises and what you call titi, and then the falling.
Or standing, yeah. Arising, standing.
Standing?
Yeah. Or staying.
Okay. Yeah, three moments of citta.
Three or four?
Okay, and karma conditioned each the karma rupa at each sub moment, at moment when citta arises, at moment when it doesn't fall away yet, and at moment of falling away, non-stop. At moment of one, when one is fast asleep, is there tongue?
Yes.
Is there what you call nose base or whatever you call?
Yes.
See, because karma produced all the time, the masculinity, femininity is conditioned each sub moment. Can we call it sub moment? Sub-moment of citta, of one citta. So there's not the only citta and jitasikas while one is fast asleep. There's also rupa too, even it's unknown.
So, bring up to the present moment if that is that only one Dhamma is experienced. But actually a lot of rupas arise and pass away, which can build up the so-called the body or the person.
Everything is gone, even right now.
At one moment.
That which arises falls away. All the time.
Even it arises and passes away immediately, but at one moment there is.
The karma produces all the time, beyond anyone's control. The moment when karma does not produce the eye base, one is blind. While one is fast asleep, one is not blind yet.
So that is body?
What do you take for body?
Because too many rupa mm-hmm. arise.
Not just only the kama charupa, also citta charupa, uttu charupa, ahara charupa.
Yeah, many kai and many yes. rupas.
Many groups.
Yes.
Uncountable groups.
So it bring up the body.
Leads to the idea of having a body.
But this body is different from the rupa, the outside rupa.
Yes, because these rupas are conditioned by karma. These ones we're talking about, the ones outside, are not conditioned by karma. So they're different.
Yeah.
No life faculty, no masculinity, no femininity here.
change a little bit the subject. I have a question. So the karma, which is at the last process before the dying consciousness conditions the rebirth consciousness in the next life, right? The karma, which is at the last process of citta before the dying consciousness is the...
It said that kusala citta or akusala citta conditioned by the karma which has been done.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because no selection. Some would doubt whether when the object is present, why it is not the lopa mula citta which experiences it. Mm-hmm. Because it that moment conditioned by the karma which will condition kusala or akusala citta to arise at moment of experiences the last object.
Mm-hmm. So can we say that is it the karma which conditioned the rebirth consciousness?
Certainly.
So what about the karma that are being produced now in daily life, like a moment of dana or a moment of killing, for mm-hmm. example?
Because when we talk about one karma which produced the rebirth consciousness, mm-hmm. it also collect the other karmas mm-hmm. to be conditions of what would arise mm-hmm. in that life.
And could we explore a little bit more about this
collecting? For example, to be born a human being is the result of kusala. Mm-hmm. But why sometimes there is a kusala vipaka, being sick?
Because of the other karma that have been gathered or collected by that karma. So different karmas actually produce result at that moment.
Mm-hmm. But like they will produce the result in terms of seeing or hearing by the experiences through the five doors. Yeah, but so they...
Sometimes there is a moment of seeing pleasant object mm-hmm. and sometimes not pleasant object at all by karma, akusala. Karma can produce the akusala vipaka, mm-hmm. experiences pain and so on, yeah. unpleasant.
So for that, I am clear about that, but what I am actually wondering is like, in a moment of dana or a moment of akusala deeds, they cannot, like if the death doesn't follow at that moment, they cannot produce the rebirth consciousness, right? They can only produce the result as seeing or hearing. And so on.
Who can select which one will condition rebirth consciousness? That's why that can be the kusala and akusala, which is the result of one deeds, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Or it can be such moments before. Mm-hmm. Before it means that one is going to die, not the actual five javana moments. Mm-hmm. That can be conditioned for the rebirth of next life too. Mm-hmm. No selection. So that's why the first javana can produce result only in the present life and the last one produced in the future life, next life, and the five ones can produce any time. Even birth or experiences after birth.
One thing that I find difficult is because we say, well, actually it could be death, you know, any time like now. So it could be the kusala or akusala cheetahs now after seeing or while thinking now that could be the kusala or akusala before chuti cheetah. And so it could be the kusala or akusala now that at the last moment that condition rebirth, but we don't usually say that the kusala or akusala now is conditioned by karma.
When it's karma, it can produce result at any time. It can be rebirth or after rebirth.
Right. Okay, so it's just actually referring to how it's the... But when you mention that it's before death, that it's the karma that conditions the kusala or akusala, what exactly is meant? Because now, for example, if these moments now with loba are the last moments before death, and condition the so accumulate all the karma that will bring a result. But the loba is accumulated, of course. So in what way is it conditioned by karma now?
At this moment, it is kusala or akusala. And when a karma condition the next rebirth consciousness after death, it can be any object. But that which conditioned the rebirth consciousness is chanaka karma. So any moment can be chanaka karma. Mm-hmm. But so you see that at moment of listening now, understanding now, and then there is condition for life to end, there is the dying consciousness. So what can condition the rebirth consciousness? Can we know? That is that one, or the previous, the accumulation of karma.
So impossible to know whether it's that one at that moment,
or the, because it has accumulated all past karma, so it could be any karma at all. So impossible to know. So in that sense, the last moment is not so significant because it can be any karma from the past.
Though. Like at the moment when one is killed, sudden death, who knows? Citta before dying consciousness produced by the one karma, which is that which will condition the rebirth consciousness.
And if for example, the last
cheetahs, like now commonly the cheetahs after seeing or thinking are with attachment with loba, so does one say that, oh, it must be the akusala karma that is accumulated that will bring result, or kusala and akusala can be anything, but if it's akusala now, it must be akusala karma that brings result?
Because the accumulated kusala karma can condition kusala moment anytime, and the accumulation of akusala can condition akusala moment at any time. It can be right now or before death.
So if it's cheetahs with loba now, must be accumulated by, conditioned by kusala karma
previous
that will bring
kusala karma, or just a kusala citta.
Can you also say that some karmas that are produced during a lifetime can also condition the object to be experienced in the last javana of life, and then the citta which have been accumulated towards that object can be either kusala or akusala?
For example, you think a lot about what?
Yes,
cheetahs. See, by conditions. So how come that moment of thinking without previous experiences or karma?
So here it's like talking about karma
as being conditioned for the accumulated thinking
too.
Because
usually we talk about accumulations
as condition for karma, like there cannot be any karma without the natural decisive support condition without the accumulations. Mm-hmm. But in this case, we're talking about karma as a condition for those accumulated tendencies or way
yes.
of thinking.
Mm-hmm. It does mean that which can condition karma cannot produce the kusala or akusala citta.
And just I have one question back on Ayatana's
one. So when we're talking about seeing, for example, we talk about those four Ayatanas, and the other cheetahs in the idol process, because at those moments the base is actually heart-based, but I think we say because the eye sense is the doorway and hasn't yet fallen away. So, for example, at the moments of Sampaticca Santirana, the other cheetahs at that moment, there's the cheetah and there's the visible object and there are the cheetah seekers and heart base, because it's the base included in Dhammayatana. But also I think that we say there is also the I sense still because not yet fallen away, so as conditioned by way of doorways. So at the moment of the other cheetahs in that door, in that process, still four ayatanas, I sense, visible object, cheetah, manayatana, and cheetah seekers and heart-based dharmayatana. Is that correct? Yeah.
Because without the eye vest, there cannot be seen.
Any other cheetahs right, in the process,
the seeing consciousness,
following it, yeah. And it hasn't yet fallen away.
So in terms of the vara, or in terms of ayatana, or in terms of dhatu?
And you were just going to mention, I think, why sometimes just six are mentioned. Any reason why? Because 12 ayatanas, so when six are mentioned, is it because six pairs or?
Six experiences.
Six experiences, mm-hmm. Okay, so it's just referring to the six experiences.
So that's why when we read, for example, in...
Like in shorthand, like in a sutta on Paticca Samuppada, if there's not a really very careful consideration and real understanding of what it's meant by ayatanas, and you just read about six ayatanas, it's quite meaningless because we don't really know what it's talking about at all.
Well, it's like sometimes in the suttas there's a reference to seeing, hearing and thinking, but we understand the references to all the other sensed or experiences as well, not just seeing and hearing.
Seeing, no, it's not me.
So what is it?
Seeing is a citta.
What is it more than that? Yes, it's a citta. And what else?
Seeing is ayatana.
And what else?
Seeing is khanda.
What else?
Seeing...
Whatever in Tipitaka, Paticca Samuppada, Dhatu, just no wonder, only reality that can be classified in order to be conditioned for developing understanding of no self. Only that, no other kind of developing, no practice. Because really, I don't understand what you mean by practice. So we continue tomorrow.
Okay.